Take your Bibles, please turn to Numbers chapter 20. We're going to be in Numbers 20 and chapter 21 this morning. Everybody experiences detours in life. What is your first response in life when you come to a detour? For many, it is to avoid the detour. We already have the fastest, easiest, and best route picked out, so when we see the detour ahead sign, we want to avoid it if at all possible. For some, the response is to go right through the road closed sign. You think this could be totally unnecessary, a complete waste of time. You may be thinking, I hate detours. You may be like the family that I mentioned before in a message who went through the road closed sign only discover a few miles down the road, I believe it was a mountainous road, that it was impossible to get through. When they finally got back to the original road closed sign, they found painted on the back, "Welcome back, stupid." Some people look for an alternate route. They think they can find a faster, simpler, and more direct route than what is posted on the sign. Maybe you've tried that before and weren't so successful. We don't like to be detoured from our plans, but sometimes God has a different set of plans for us. The detour may seem harder. It may even grow deeply discouraging if we try traversing it alone. In Numbers 20 and 21, we find Israel hitting a detour. And this morning, we're going to examine four aspects of Israel's detour that can help us to respond correctly when facing a detour in life. First of all, I'd like us to look at the backdrop to Israel's detour. If we go in, we read in chapter 21 this morning, but I'd like us to go to chapter number 20. And see look at some of the background here to what's happening in 21. And, in 21, it talks about how they had to compass, the land of Edom. They had to go around the land of Edom. And it explains some of that here in chapter number 20 in verse 14. It says, "And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us." Now, if you remember, Edom, the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. The Israelites were the descendants of Jacob. All right, so Jacob and Esau were brothers. All right, so the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. The Israelites were the descendants of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. So he says, "Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed thy borders." And Edom said unto him, "Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword." And the children of Israel said unto him, "We will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet." And he said, "Thou shalt not go through." And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. And so as a result of this, if you come into chapter 21, in verse number 4, it says, "And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass, all right, to make a circuit around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. So we find here the children of Israel had to go around the land of Edom. Now they come, many times I'd like us to see, first of all, that they were, the children of Israel are already in a precarious position. You know, they're already in an uncomfortable position, so to speak. Imagine with me a couple million people going through the wilderness in tents. I mean, if you have we have eight children in our family, you try camping for just a little bit amount of time, and that can be an experience. Well, imagine if you have a couple million people in the wilderness. You know, think of how much water that would require. You know, imagine if the city of Milwaukee and all the suburbs surrounding it were without water. What would happen? People would go crazy. So you can imagine the precarious position that the children of Israel are already in. And earlier in chapter 20, they were in a situation where they were lacking water. All right, and we look at them, oh boy, they complained. Well, imagine what would happen in our society if you were in the same position. And so we see they're in a precarious position walking through the wilderness. And many times when we hit a detour in life, we can be in a precarious situation. Although they were wandering in the wilderness, they had a God that had promised to be with them. And no matter what type of precarious situation they were in, there was always someone there that was going to take care of them. You know, as we hit detours in life, as we have to go down a pathway that we weren't planning on taking, we saw another route that was easier. You know, we may find ourselves in a precarious situation, but we have the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The children of Israel needed to learn the lesson to be in a state of constant dependence upon God. So they found themselves in a precarious situation, but also I'd like us to see that they had a careful approach. All right, they come to Edom, and they didn't just say, all right, get out of the way, we're coming through. All right, no, they didn't. They came up to them carefully. You know, they tried to approach them, you know, personally. You know, they said, thus saith thy brother Israel. All right, they hearken back to the fact that, you know what, back in our beginnings, we had ancestors that were brothers. And they came to them personally, seeking to help them. They came to them with a pleasant request. They said, in verse 17, let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. You know, they weren't coming to them in a disrespectful, get out of the way, watch out, we're Israel, we can do what we want. You know, they were respectful. They came to them in a kind fashion. So there was a pleasant request, but then we see the response that Edom made. Thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. You know, there was a passionate rebuttal to their request. No way, you're not coming through. You know, and then they had a simple, reasonable reply in verse 19. We will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. We're not going to do anything. All right, and they seem to be doing everything that they could to allow Edom to let them come through. You know, and sometimes in life, we have a plan. We're going to do something. And we're trying like every which way to do it the right way. But things just don't seem to be working the way we planned. And we say, you know, we're going the right way, we're asking the right way, we're doing the right thing, but this is the response we get. And that's the situation that the children of Israel found themselves in. They had a reasonable reply, and then they got another unpleasant response, verse 20. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. And so what did it result in? Well, a backdrop, a change of plans. Now plans have to be changed. All right, instead of being able to go through the land of Edom, instead of being able to go through on maybe an actual roadway, obviously not like our interstate roadways, but the pathways that they would have back then, now they're going to have to traverse a different way, a longer route, a harder route. There's a change of plans. You know, detours involve a change of plans, don't they? And that's the backdrop here to this situation. Secondly, I'd like us to see the burdens of detours. Detours carry with them burdens. And as we look in this chapter, we find they faced a burden of a personal loss. As they had to go on, change their plans, what happens in verses 22 and following? Well, here we find that Aaron passes away. Here's the high priest. Here's one of their stalwart leaders. Now, obviously, Aaron had failures, but he obviously had a spiritual mindset in that God chose him to be the high priest in the land of Israel. And their leader passes away. So they meet this situation. They've got to go a different route. And then their leader passes away. There's a personal loss. We find that there were difficult pathways. If you read in verse number 4, Numbers 21 and verse 4, notice what it says. To compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. You know, there was a difficult pathway. Sometimes you get to the point in life where everything seems harder, where life becomes unbearable. And that's what's happening to the children of Israel. We find that our physical weakness can very easily lead to spiritual defeat. Notice what happened in their lives. They became much discouraged. They were facing hardships. They had to go a longer route. They had to go through hardships in the wilderness. Instead of being able to go on a pathway that's easy, now you have all these different people. You have all these tents. You have all this stuff that you have to carry with you. You think of their flocks. Think of their herds. And now they have to traverse a longer route, a harder route. And because of the way, the people become much discouraged. And notice the spiritual defeat that came in verse number 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Many times in life, when we face a detour, when we face a change of plans, when something unexpected happens, our first response is we have to blame somebody. Who are we going to blame? I mean, you know, you've all had it where the water spills at the kitchen table. And who did it? You know, whose fault was it? Who knocked it over? You know, we got to find somebody to blame. Maybe you never have that happen to your home, but if you have, it happens at our house. You know, our first response is somebody's got to get blamed for this. We've got to find a cause. Who did it? And maybe it's in our society in which we live, you know, with detectives and the FBI and everything else. You know, we've got to find who did this. And that's, you know, in Israel, the first response is to who, is to do what? Speak against God. Their first response is to throw the blame on God. Well, we can't see God, can we? Now, obviously, they could see the presence of God in the cloud. So who do we next want to blame? You know, who's ever in charge, right? So next, they go against Moses. They spake against God. Well, it says, and against Moses. May have been doing it simultaneously. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We find that they were losing hope. You know, they said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to what? To die in the wilderness. You know, one thing that God wants us to have in life is hope. And not just the hope that says, I want something to happen, but the hope that says, I know something is going to happen. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I'm just going to turn there. It's Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 19. Having the right kind of hope in life is important. It says, let me read in verse number 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in to that within the veil. You think of the hope that we have in Christ, the expectation of the future salvation, the present salvation that we have, but the future consummation of that salvation. What we have in Christ, who through the blood of his cross gave us the redemption from our sins. That is a hope. That is a refuge that we can lay hold on, that can be an anchor of our soul no matter what happens. And God has given to us that. You know, the children of Israel lost that hope as they're going through the wilderness. They lost sight of what was coming. And they lost hope. You know, in life, it's a dangerous thing when we lose hope. Like we mentioned in the book of Jeremiah, where the people said, it's no use. You know, there's no use for us to try to return. They lost hope. It's important that we don't lose hope, but here we find that the children of Israel lost hope. Why? Because of the difficulty of the way. Their physical strength was waning. And we need to recognize that when we get in that situation where we're facing physical weakness, many times it affects us spiritually. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 24, it talks about how we are saved by hope. All right, and really it's kind of using hope and faith in a similar way there. All right, that future expectation, you know, of an event that we know is going to take place. We know Christ died on the cross. We know he paid the penalty for our sin. And there is something that we can hang on to in life because of that. If we get back to Numbers chapter 21, we find this physical weakness and how it can very easily lead to spiritual defeat. Notice what they said. It says, for you have brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. For there is no bread, neither is there any water. You know, they said, for there is no bread. What can happen when we face these difficulties? We can easily lose sight of God's provision and his working in our lives. All right, they said, we have no bread. Well, what was happening every morning? Except for the Sabbath day. God was providing the manna. But yet they said, we have no bread. Neither is there any water. Now, not that long earlier in Numbers chapter 20, if you find out how, now it was when Moses did it incorrectly, and again he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, but what did God do? He provided them abundance of water. And again, they couldn't see what God was doing in their lives because they hit this detour. And they were discouraged. And it was getting to them. And they were physically weak. You know, if you went on a 3-month-long camping trip, what would you feel like by the end of the trip? And we're not talking, you know, mobile homes with air conditioning and those types of things. You know, you would be getting physically weak, wouldn't you? You would. I mean, this is a lot longer than 3 months, isn't it? And what started to happen? They were losing their spiritual eyesight. In this situation, they were facing extra difficulties along the way because they had to go a different route than what they were planning. So they lost sight of God's provision. They lost sight of God's working in their lives. Neither is there any water. Then they said, and our soul loatheth this light bread. So, okay, God is providing us something, but we don't like it. I mean, we're sick of this. I mean, if you had the same thing every day, you know, it does get old. I mean, even it can be your favorite thing. But if that's what you have every single day, what happens? It gets old after a while, doesn't it? But the problem here is what? Is that they were losing sight of what God was doing in their lives. They were losing sight of the good that he was doing. In Psalm 68 and verse 19, it says, who daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, talking about putting our trust in the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. And when we lose sight of God's daily provision, if we lose sight of what God is working in our lives, we start to lose sight of the big picture. And we begin to doubt God and to not have that constant dependence upon him that he wants us to have. And Satan breeds, puts those seeds of doubt within our lives. Why? Because of the difficulty of the detour that we're facing. You know, Ephesians 6, it talks about having our loins girt about with truth. It talks about having on the shield of faith, whereby we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And in those situations of physical weakness, it's so important for us to have those shields of faith, that shield of faith within our lives, because Satan's going to attack. He's going to want us to forget what God is doing. You know, forget Lamentations chapter 3. You know, that you're, where God says his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And he's going to want us to forget about those things. But we need to have God's word in a special way on our minds to thwart off those attacks of the devil, because we'll never be able to do it in our own strength. You know, you think of the Apostle Paul facing probably, you know, a physical issue. Maybe it's something to do with his eyesight. Maybe something else. But in 2 Corinthians 12:9, Christ said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, that was probably a physical weakness that the Apostle Paul was facing. But yet it had a what? A spiritual connection in his life. And that's what we have to recognize. You know, the things that we face physically affect us spiritually. And we need to allow the grace of Christ to overcome those physical issues that we're facing so they don't turn into a spiritual problem like they did in the lives of the children of Israel. So we see the background, we see the burdens of detours, but then we can see the blessings that come with detours. You know, sometimes on a detour in life, there's a blessing that God has for us along the way. And it says in verse number 21, it says, chapter 21 at the beginning, we read about that this morning, and when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, and he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. Now in this case, we find them approaching this in the right way. And instead of saying, oh no, all the people are prisoners, oh no, let's complain again, what do? They went to the Lord. And he delivered them. Even though some of them had been prisoners, and they made a commitment to God. And God delivered them. And God provided a victory for them along that pathway. And here was a victory that maybe they would never have experienced if they hadn't been on that detour. If they hadn't been in that location instead of going through the land of Edom. You know, sometimes God has victories, and we're on that detour. We need to see those victories that God has given to us along the way so that we can keep our minds focused and keep them with the right perspective. But notice, even in this situation, first came the hardship, but second came the victory. So we see the blessing of detours. But I also, this morning, like us to see not only the blessing, but also the beauty of detours. As we get into verse number six. So the children of Israel are complaining. You know, they're blaming God. They're blaming Moses. And God judges them for their sin. Verse number six. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You know, it's a reminder to us of the hardships that can come in our lives when we don't respond correctly to the detour that we are on. Then it says in verse number six, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. You know, if we find ourselves in a detour, responding incorrectly, well, what do we need to do? We need to come to the Lord. We need to confess that as sin. We need to humble ourselves before him. You know, if we've spoken out against somebody else, we need to confess our sin. We need to humble ourselves. But we find that in the midst of all this, there's a beautiful picture that came out of an ugly situation. It says here in verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bit any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now in this, let's turn over to John chapter 3, so we can see this beautiful picture that came out of this ugly situation. You know, that is what God can do in our lives. Sometimes we think, what good could come out of this? But we never should limit the ability of God to work in our lives. And in here we find the beauty of the picture of our salvation. John chapter 3 and verse number 14. And it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, you think about this amazing picture. You know, the people here that had this disease, there was nothing that they could do to save themselves. They had sinned, they had the disease, and in themselves there was nothing they could do. And it's a picture of our salvation. There's nothing we can do. We're hopeless. We're sinners. We've sinned. We're hopeless. And many people today lose sight of the hopelessness of themselves without Christ. There was nothing they could do, and it provides a beautiful picture that it is only by simple faith that they could receive this gift of healing. You know, another beautiful part of the picture is that he was to what? Put it up upon a pole. You know, it wasn't something laying on the ground where it was going to be difficult for people to come to. It was going to be difficult for people to see. You know, you think of the tent. They weren't skyscrapers in the land of Israel. Okay, they were all in tents. All right, so it was in a position that people could see it. You know, God, this morning, God is not trying to make salvation difficult. All right, we're the ones that make it complicated. We're the ones that make it difficult. He put the serpent up there. It was in a place that people could see. And it says in John chapter 3, you know, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, you think of the Son of Man being lifted up, what? About drawing men unto himself. You know, the plan of salvation, it was done in such a way that it is available to mankind. You know, out of this tragedy came a beautiful picture of the helplessness of mankind. The children of Israel were helpless. There was nothing they could do. But when they came to the point that they recognized their own helplessness, their own sinfulness, that they had offended God, and they were willing to plead for His mercy, God provided a way for them to simply look. And it's really the picture of faith, as it says in Isaiah there, "Look unto me, you know, all ye ends of the earth, and what? Be ye saved." And it's just really that simple look of faith, of dependence. There's nothing I can do. I'm hopeless. But Christ has provided the way. You know, this morning, do you find yourself on a detour in life? You know, there's things that we need to be aware of. So when we hit that detour, we respond in a way that would please God. You know, as we sang the song this morning, "I need thy presence every passing hour." You know, we get to that point in life where we think we can handle it. We might have a detour right on the horizon and we're going to fall. And we're going to fail because we don't recognize our frailty. But no matter what we face, Christ has said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know, maybe in life today, you've never got on the road. You know, Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And the first thing you need to do is see yourself as the children of Israel saw themselves, those that were bitten by the serpents, that were dying. They saw others that had died. They were soon to die themselves. And they came to that point of seeing their need, and they cried out for help. And God provided a way. May we learn to respond correctly to those detours of life and see the ability of God to work in a new way that maybe we don't understand at the present, but someday, it may not be here, it may be in glory, will we see life from the perspective that God was intending us to see it. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would enable each one of us, Lord, to learn to trust you. And Lord, when we're in the middle of a situation, it can be difficult to live by faith. And I pray this morning, Lord, that your word would in some way be an encouragement, be a help, be a blessing. Lord, that we wouldn't respond like the children of Israel, but that we would look to you, that we would see the ways you've provided and worked in the past. We will put our confidence and trust in you for the future. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, you know, as you think about the message this morning, is maybe you find yourself on a detour. You know, maybe you're not on a detour, but you know what? You may be on one soon. Are you prepared? You know, are you ready to face it with the right mindset? Do we see our frailty? Do we see how easy it is for weakness physically to affect us spiritually if we're not careful to have that, our loins girt about with truth, to have that shield of faith? You know, maybe this morning you just recognize, boy, how I, maybe you just, Maybe it's some verses that you need to memorize in your life. Maybe it's a different perspective that you need to see life from. Maybe there's been some seeds of doubt that the devil's planted in your life that you realize you need to take care of. Maybe the Lord's worked in your life this morning, even right now in the quietness when we have the invitation. You can get that settled with the Lord. I wonder this morning, maybe you are like the children of Israel. And you need to come to the point where you see yourself as having sinned and come to the Savior in simple faith to receive that healing that only He can give, that eternal healing from your sin. Dear Lord, we just pray that You would take these truths and may Your Spirit make them understandable and real in each person's life. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.